Oh, fuck, what episode is this?
Ready.
It's May 20th, 2013, and you're listening to episode 33 of Nitro Beard Free to Play. I am Brian Belita, and I am Earth.
Bonjour, Port. Comment allez-vous A-G-O, that's, it looks...
Aujourd'hui.
Really? That looks Arabic. That doesn't... Can we start again? Because I think, okay, it says aujourd'hui. Okay, hang on. Let's... Okay, Port, forget the parts when... Excuse me, when I'm speaking in English.
Mark, you may be the least international person I've ever known.
Yes, I have this issue. Okay.
And yet possibly the most international person from North Carolina.
That is true.
The bar is not set particularly high, although we did produce Charles Carrault, so we're kind of proud of that. Bonjour, poi, comment allez-vous? What?
So
this isn't like so. Just read it phonetically.
And anybody who follows the Nitro Beard Twitter account may have seen that I may have promised one of our French Canadian listeners that Mark would do the entire podcast in French.
It starts off with A-U-J. That's not even anything you can pronounce. What the hell is up with French?
We can't see your screen. What are the rest of the letters?
Hang on a second. I apologize to the listener out there that I'm being forced to put this into a text field. So, like, look at that. It's Klingon.
Bonjour, Poik. Comment allez-vous aujourd'hui? That's hello, Poik. How are you today?
Wait, what? Say the last word again.
Aujourd'hui.
Aujourd'hui?
Aujourd'hui.
Aujourd'hui. Bonjour, Poik. Comment allez-vous aujourd'hui? Yeah!
That wasn't even kind of close. You just kind of like mumbled the word.
Mumble French. Right, yeah. Matt Pierce is water.
I am?
Yes. Imran Khan is fire.
Yes. Wheeler was the best character.
Mark Bradshaw, I guess, is wind.
I don't want to be wind.
Alright, you can be heart. That's your only other option.
I'll be heart. Fuck, I'm gonna be wind.
Right, Mark Bradshaw's heart. I guess Wes is the wind, sort of. But anyway, with all of our powers combined, yeah, we're not really anything good.
Can I get a...
We're Captain Nitro Beard 33.
Captain Nitro Beard 33. Says XX Super Saiyan SSJ Nitro Beard 33 Sith Lord.
Wait a second. If we're 33, we can be Zerd Zerd.
We can be what?
According to Guilty Gear,
Xrd.
According to Guilty Gear, we can be Xrd Xrd.
I don't know what any of that means.
The new Guilty Gear, so titles in that series are generally insane. Like, I think one of them was called Equusa Equusa Exerd. Or Equusa Equusa Ikusa was one of the titles.
Is that anything, like, I saw some anime show a while ago, probably when I was in college, called Bo 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 Bo.
Yes, that's a gag one, right. So that's supposed to sound
okay. Now, first, you should explain exactly what you're saying when you say that. You're saying the word X.
Yes, there's two X's and then like a third thing. And then this one's called X-IRD.
Because they can't just...
Which is pronounced... Wait. Yeah, it's straight up pronounced X-IRD.
Because they just can't say third. The third fucking game.
So do they actually say Ekusa? Like when they say that?
Ekusa.
So is Ekusa, Ekusa, Iska. That was
one of them that was called that. I think it was like the Dynasty Warriors style game that they made.
So every time that I say Guilty Gear Double X Accent Core, that's not stupid enough. I'm actually downplaying the stupidness of that title.
Yes. I think my favorite title in quote unquote recent memory was Super Street Fighter EX Plus Alpha.
That's not even like the most extreme like Street Fighter name. Like there's
no,
like
it's, Street it's Fighter not.
Like Alpha Gold Legends Zero.
At least EX Plus Alpha makes sense because it was an EX game with alpha characters.
Oh, that actually meant something.
Yeah, as opposed to Double X Accent Core, which means nothing.
Well, there's Guilty Gear Double XX Carrot Symbol Core Plus.
Carrot Symbol?
Like, there's a Carrot Symbol.
It's like to the power of Core Plus.
Yeah, that's the one that they pronounce accent.
Oh, that's
like,
accent.
That's like, no, I don't even want to get into, there was some... One of my friends had a run-in with a, you know, with a parent who had a child named L-A, LaDasha.
What?
LaDasha, L-A.
Why not just What?
Yep.
You know, I think this is the fault of doctors. Like when you have your kid, you're going to give this kid a name. We got to put something on a birth certificate. And if they say something stupid, they should say, no, try again. We're going to give you a book.
So it should be
as far as I know, is not legal in the U.S., but is legal in other countries, which is kind of important because relatively frequently, Germany has to enforce its ban of the first name Adolf.
So, like, asshole, like, white supremacists will regularly name their kid Adolf in Germany?
Is it Adolf or is it... I think they banned Adolf as a name.
Hitler. You can't just name your... If your last name is Hitler, you just can't name your kid Hitler.
There's a story about a Polish family that after World War II, their names were Hitler, but they had no relation to the Hitler. Right. So they had to change their names, and they chose the name Schittler, the only possible name worse than Hitler.
Oh, that's awful.
I wonder if that meant something completely different in Polish, or they were just that upset with Hitler.
I mean, maybe they didn't want to change completely, and so they figured, you know, this kind of makes sense. It rolls off the tongue.
It rolls like Schittler. But the important thing is we're getting a new Guilty Gear game, which is actually a new Guilty Gear game because it's completely new engine.
Is this the one I was going to be Unreal Engine or something?
Yeah, it's Unreal.
It's Unreal Engine 3. It's complete. Well, it's like the Street Fighter 4 version of 3D where everything's built on a polygon but still in a 2D plane.
Right.
Okay.
2.5D, I believe.
Yeah, not even that way because, I mean, I guess like there is some random stuff in like Street Fighter 4 where you're going like 3D for just like a second or whatever. But
right, it's doing that too. Yeah. Like apparently when you power blow somebody up, it goes behind them.
Because the Matrix is new and fresh and we should be using that camera angle as much as possible in 2014 when it's going to be released.
Martin needs to direct everything.
It is kind of sad though because that series had some beautiful 2D artwork.
But to do what they want to do with that game, they probably can't afford to do 2D artwork anymore. Like it probably has to be 3D polygons. Like they can't sit there and pay an artist to draw 60 frames per second all those characters in much detail and as high resolution as they want. So
I don't know.
Well, I imagine part of this
pretty gorgeous.
Yeah.
Part of this is they have Blaze Blue to fall back on if for some reason everyone completely hates this. They can just go back to that. I'm sure at some point Atlas is going to tap them for another Persona fighter. So I mean, it's not like they've completely abandoned it. It's just that now they've made models that for next generation they can up-res.
I can't remember off the 20 minutes I played of the Persona 4 fighter. Was that in the same deal where they had like 3D models?
No, that was all 2D.
That was all 2D art. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool story.
have you guys followed this running thing of like matching the spine art on like DVD movie series and TV series and seasons of stuff?
Yep.
So it's all like
a consistent theme layout. You know, the logos are in the same place and stuff. Although I think there was I want to say it's Monk the show. I forget the guy's name, but the character is like an OCD detective. And
his name is Monk.
And the final season DVD, you know, box, the entire spine is basically like flipped around, which is a great use of that. But then there's some companies that just kind of bork it.
The Simpsons DVDs are particularly awful about
right.
this.
And I think Telltale Games particularly prides themselves on having it all consistent.
So on a whim, I bought Lost Odyssey over the week. Because it was like $5, I figured, what the hell, I've played this game, but I don't own it. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen the packaging for Lost Odyssey, but it's a regular-ass Microsoft DVD case. And all three discs are stacked on top of each other in the disc case, and then there's like a fourth disc just sort of like in a paper sleeve next to it.
That's beautiful.
So this, I'm a crazy person, so this really bothers
me. Despite the fact that it's inside the case, you'll never ever see it, ever.
Well, that and also those paper sleeves, enough heat gets on that stuff and those start melting into the disc. And so what I did is, for some other reason, I think because my ex-girlfriend, I bought her a copy of Lost Odyssey a long time ago and she doesn't really keep game boxes, so she gave me that. So I have two boxes of Lost Odyssey, without a game. So I figured, okay, I'm just going to put two discs in one and two discs in another and just change the box on this one. So the only thing that's different is it says Lost Odyssey discs 3 and 4. So basically, I spent a couple of extra dollars just getting all this stuff set because it bothered me so much that
it's the stuff that counts.
But let me ask you this: did you like Lost Odyssey that much to warrant this?
I liked the Thousand Years of Dreams. That stuff was cool. Rest of that game, give it, I could take or leave.
Well, anyways, I bring this up because Penny Arcade was giving away their third game today, on the Rain Slick Precipice of Darkness 3, or I guess it should be Episode 3. But anyway, so you know, they were giving away for free, so I said, why not? I enjoyed the first two games. You know, you go in, you have to do a little CAPTCHA thing to prove you're human, and you get a code, plug it into Steam, and you get it. So I did that, and then I went into my Steam library.
And it's full of rootkit viruses.
I see the first game on the Rain Slick Precipice of Darkness, comma, Episode 1. I see the second game on the Rain Slick Precipice of Darkness, comma, Episode 2. And then there's Penny Arcades on the Rain Slick Darkness
3. Bastards!
And this uses the number 3. There's no episode. The first ones are the Episode 1 and 2 spelled out. And this one is on the Rain Slick Precipice of Darkness 3. Just 3, no commas, with the Penny Arcades in front.
Well, you know, if
son of a bitch, this is digital. Like, I should give a shit even less. But
you know, if you want to get the correct name version, you actually have to pay them $10. So they know what they're doing.
I'm having this issue with, like, all the PS3 games I have, like, on my shelf. Because at some point during the generation, Sony changed
them. Yeah, was that shit?
Yeah. So now, like, I have to think, like, oh god, do I put these PS3 games in different piles? Because they're all in alphabetical order. Yeah. So I can't, like, do I make it so for early generation PS3 titles and later generation PS3 titles with the changed logo, even though that's the only thing different?
Look at it this way. At least they're not Genesis games.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They changed, like, the background art and the boxes on the Genesis games, like, 4 or 5 times during the course of the Genesis. I will say, though, this is the exact reason why I refuse to buy Platinum Hits or Greatest Hits games, regardless of the system they're on, because that drives me nuts to have this one stark yellow GameCube box when the rest of them are just normal, and this one asshole just sitting there saying, oh, you were too cheap, this is your punishment.
I think that's the point. I think it's like, hey, collectors, stop being cheap asses.
Okay, I'm just going to throw this out there. There's no point in being a collector. These things aren't really rare. They aren't really worth much.
It's not a matter of rarity. It's that I have this stuff and I want it to like look nice.
And like, I like the, you know, for what it's worth, I have like Japanese Saturn games. I like the way they look. I know they're probably not going to be worth much in like years to come because already Radiant Silver Gun is like an XBLE release. But it means something to me to have these things looking nice, to have them on a shelf.
It means.
Well, and speaking of which, did you see that the instruction booklet for Clay Fighter 63 and 1/3 Special Edition sold for over $1,000?
I did not. I guess was that
the instruction booklet is considerably better than the game, so that kind of makes sense.
Well, it's also considerably rarer because it was a Blockbuster exclusive.
I was about to say it had to be like Blockbuster, and like, and no one kept those things. So
yep.
Well, sort of to your point, Mark. I mean, Matt wrote an article last year in January, I think. Called Why Gamers Hoard, sort of about, I don't know necessarily about, you know, about necessarily having things that look good on your shelf, but kind of why we hold on to these things and why they mean something to us.
There is something to be said for like, all I had like this huge stack of like 60 some Xbox 360 games, and I'm looking at these and I'm thinking, virtually all of the, like, only a handful, maybe like 4 or 5, I couldn't either get off like Xbox or PlayStation Network or off Steam. And the rest of these boxes are just completely meaningless because it's like you said, they're not rare. I mean, 10 billion copies of Gears of War 3 were printed. So,
see, I don't mind that the box art isn't the same from box to box. I don't mind the greatest hits ones. I mean, I don't mind the PS3 games that I have. What I mind is that they're in alphabetical order so you can find them, and that they're clean, you know? They're not chewed to death by my cats or anything.
or daughter.
Yeah, well, thankfully my bookshelf has glass doors on it.
Oh, yeah, we need to get some of those, because we just have like a little, you know, 2-box height, you know, cabinet from IKEA or shelf system from IKEA.
That's what we have. Yep, you can buy the doors separately.
Wait, is it the Billy?
That's what I need to do. But anyway, so there's this game where my son Parker will basically he'll pull himself up on the shelf and kind of stand there and pull out pull out game by game, and the Wii games are in front. He'll pull out game by game, hold it there, and you snatch it out of his hand, and he'll laugh his ass off, and then he'll go grab the next one. And you do the same thing. So, so at least once a day, we end up taking all of the games out of that cabinet spot.
So Brian, what you're saying is that Wii games are for Babby?
Yes. Yes, literally. Quite literally. But then we also have the Wii on one of those shelves.
Oh,
and,
no.
You know, we use it for Netflix because my PS3 is dead.
And to hold down objects.
What?
And to hold down, like, other objects, like papers or something.
I see what you're going for then, Mark.
Because
Mark brings that middle school flavor.
And, of course,
that's what I'm here for, folks.
And he loves just climbing up to that thing and just pushing the power button. So we'll be in the middle of watching something. You know, he's playing around. You know, we'll kind of be playing with him. And then all of a sudden, it's just... And that, of course, is the disc spinning up and down as he just sits there poking the button over and over again.
So, like, all the systems now have this thing where, well, except for the Wii U, but the PS3 and 360 have this thing where if you just touch the button, it responds to the electricity or scanner, the Apple thing. And I've heard from an endless number of people that say, my pets see that glowing light and they touch it. And that just turns my systems on and off repeatedly.
I wonder if that's been happening since, like, the dawn of time, and this is just happening now because of the capacitance stuff.
Right.
No,
that's never happened.
I've seen cats play iPad games.
Yes. So.
Capacitive technology isn't that new. Like, it's seen a revival because of touch screens, but we've had touch lamps since the 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah, and but people stopped making them because of cats.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason nobody builds or sells touch lamps anymore.
I saw a set in, I don't know, Bed Bath & Beyond or something a while ago when we were doing, like, our wedding registry. They're kind of little ones. They're the smallest ones I could find, and I kind of wanted them just for my desk.
But yeah, I hope you like flashing lights in the middle of the night.
We didn't have a cat at the time, I think. But I don't know. I guess our cat has never done anything like that.
I would say, though, I kind of miss the idea of there being, like, buttons on things, because my monitor has one of those stupid capacitive, not a button power buttons, and I can't tell if it's on or off, because, like, to be on, it's, like, blue, and to be off is a slightly different shade of blue, and if it's like, just a black screen, I can't tell shit, because it takes a second for it to warm up, so I'm just sitting here, like, wondering, what, is it on? There's nothing to tell me. Why
wouldn't off just be off?
Yeah, you'd think, but no, it's just, and it's the same symbol, regardless, it's like the little circle with a line through it, so not even, like, the symbol changes.
And the thing that gets me for, like, I want to say the Wii specifically, maybe the PS3 as well, is that being... mostly red green colorblind.
Yes.
Those are the two colors they use to indicate power on or power off. And occasionally I'm like, wait, is it on? No, all right, I don't hear. No, okay, it's off. Is it?
But you're right about this being, like, it's not a new thing, because in Manhattan you'll encounter some office buildings. They don't use, like, physical buttons for the elevators. They'll use the little touch buttons. And these are enormously frustrating, because sometimes the little light that indicates that, like, you've called the elevator won't show up. So you're just sitting as though,
button,
yeah,
but the backlight is dead.
Sometimes that'll happen because, you know, these don't get maintenance for, like, a week or so. So you're just sitting there. It's like, am I being an asshole? Am I making a bell ring, like, further on in the building by hitting this? I can't tell. I'm just going to sit there and hold this button down until an elevator shows up like a jerk.
Maybe you are making a bell ring somewhere else in the building, but that's the only way they know the light's dead.
Yeah, I hopefully...
Like, one day they notice the bell's ringing a lot. They're like, I guess
that's... Hey, Jim, has this bell been ringing long?
Have you guys ever seen, like, a Coke Freestyle machine?
Yes.
Like, okay, so people who don't know, they're big Coke machines that have a touchscreen showing where, you know, so you can make up your own flavors.
Oh, okay, yes, I have
whatever.
Seen these. You have, like, literally a billion choices.
Yeah, I was eating at lunch at a Burger King today, and they had one of those there. I was like, okay, I'm going to go, you know, get some Coke. And the person in front of me clearly had, like, a cold or something. Ugh. And they're just touching every possible button. And I'm like,
Imran, next time you go to one of those machines, look down. There are wheelchair accessible buttons you could use instead. No one touches those. But it's kind of weird. They have them at one of the cafeterias where I work. And those machines will not respond to you touching the screen. It might have something to do with them being covered in sticky Coke residue. But you could always reach down and hit the handicap buttons on the bottom, and those are usually relatively untouched.
Yeah, I was watching some kid go up there, and he was going to refill, and, like, you know, you take the straw and the cup thing, cup top off the... Yeah, and, like, so he's hitting the screen with his hands, but he has the straw in his hand, so his straw is just touching every piece of that screen. I'm like, no, kid, don't
like,
do that.
Like, I get mad at my wife because, like, she sprays water around the edges of the sink when she does dishes. I'm, like, perfect about it, and so that would piss me off so much.
Does she at least, like, wipe the sink off when she's done?
Yes, yeah. Okay. Yeah. But I'm just like, why create the mess if you can avoid it in the first place? Anyway,
I was trying to figure out a way to segue from that to something like
so.
Guilty Gear
Xbox reveal.
God, fucking
the Xrd boss.
Yeah. So tomorrow, Microsoft is having an event, right?
Yeah, I suppose we probably could have waited a day, but nah, nothing stops the free to play cast
train.
Yeah.
Not only that, but there's not going to be anything all that amazing announced tomorrow.
Well, I mean, they're going to announce a system. At very least, I expect them to say we're going to be at parity with the PS4 on X.
There's nothing that's going to be surprising if you have already been paying attention to the PS4 launch.
Yeah.
We're going to have all these things and more stuff, so shut up.
Well, not only that, it's going to be like, well, it's going to be Xbox Live Gold, therefore it's better.
Yeah.
Always like, awesome. They're not even going to make a case for it. They're just going to assume that because it's Xbox Live, it is therefore better.
There is something inherently cynical about the fact that we know the at least one big game that's going to be there is going to be Call of Duty Ghosts. And it's just like, okay, your biggest game is going to be a game that's cross-generation.
Yeah.
And but maybe it's not their biggest game. Maybe they'll have, like... Maybe they'll have Halo 5 there, and that's going to wow some people.
It's more impressive than Diablo 3.
I suppose. It's actually getting to the point where the Game Informer ran a story on Infamous 3 the other day, and I don't think it looks graphically impressive as it did in February. And nothing's changed, I'm sure, but now I have the situation where, like, okay, now I've seen next-gen games, and I want them to look way better than what I have on PC. And they're not quite.
Yeah,
doing
you know
it
what
yet.
Has changed over the past like 3 or 4 months? You've been playing PC games, and it's.
Well, I've been playing that before
yeah.
too.
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm no longer in a context where I'm ready to be wow.
Right.
Now I need to see the games actually wow me. They need to make that leap
well,
themselves.
Man, you must be really happy about all those in-game Batman Arkham Origins videos we've been seeing.
Did I complain about that today? I'm pretty sure
yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
It was like a 3-4 minute just movie.
I mean,
movie
it's entertaining, and but if you're going to do that, just make a fucking movie, maybe.
Yeah, it didn't sell me on the game. It made me want to watch cartoons.
Yeah, that was the actual headline announcing that on Rock Paper Shotgun is new trailer, still no gameplay.
Yeah, because you know, they put out like 5 of these things now. And I guess they've posted some screenshots, maybe, of in-game.
So this is kind of tangentially related. But Joystick, every week when they put up the sales figures, they understand it's kind of a boring and dry article, so they try to make a joke out of it. So this time, the whole joke was, hey, watch this demo reel from 1995 about the Sega Saturn.
Okay, yeah, I'll watch that.
That is hilarious, but it was insane. It was crazy. The footage was obviously sped up to make them look smoother, but
what's hilarious about
they
it? It's
actually
the Saturn
did
thing.
Show games. Oh, what was yes. hilarious was the Saturn. Do you remember the Saturn marketing?
Yes,
the,
I
like,
remember.
Like really creepy woman with the rings around her head.
Yeah, they. I want to
the guy who looked like Paul Rudd with a giant fuzzy hat.
They did that. Wait, was that the It's Thinking campaign or was that the Dreamcast campaign?
That's Dreamcast.
Yeah. All of their campaigns were dumb. Yeah.
Well, at least the Dreamcast one made some sort of sense. They're trying to make it sound like this was a really advanced device. The Saturn one was just like pure psychedelic nonsense.
Yeah, it's the 90s, see, yeah.
The Dreamcast was coming out at a time where the idea of the word supercomputer was something that baffled us. Like, remember that PS2 marketing where they can't sell it to Iraq because it would power their nuclear systems or something?
Yeah, and probably you couldn't sell anything to Iraq computer-related because probably anything could.
Yeah, there
you can't pull that marketing today. If you have something with a really good processor, people are going to be like, oh my god, terrorists might use it. They're going to think, oh my god, Bitcoin miners might use this.
Well, that does bring a good point in relation to the Microsoft thing going on. Is there anything hardware related that they could reveal that would be interesting at all? Because back
Connect
in the day,
2.0.
Yeah, aside from like a super powerful Kinect, which thanks guys, that's exactly what I want on my.
What they'll be announcing is that they're also just like the PS4. Using an AMD processor and GPU combination.
It's on TV, so I don't think they're going to go that deep.
No,
so
probably not. Actually name,
but not GDDR5? I mean, they need to announce GDDR5, at least.
I think they're going to... If they can beat Sony on RAM, even if it's just like not even the same type of RAM, if they can say 12 gigs of RAM, which would be stupid, but I can understand actually where Microsoft would go with that. Because they're not looking for the game part of this. They're looking for the, you can play a game and then do something else, which seems like it would require a bunch of RAM. But I think they're not going to go too deep into specs. Yeah. And if they do, that's their... It's a bad idea for a TV audience.
And for me, I don't really care about the hardware. Well, I mean, graphics in game are at a point that okay, that's cool. Give me some good art direction. Things look fine. Just let me play.
They hear that it's an AMD processor and GPU combination only because AMD tends to put that into its arrangements with integrated hardware developers. Like, they want their name out front when you talk about your hardware. Like, that's,
I think they're going to leave that to third parties to just keep saying next generation of over and over.
They're not going to...
Like, they're going to say next generation of FIFA, next generation of Madden.
Well, I would think, just further that point, it's like, I don't think there's anything they can do to like, impress anyone with the hardware. Like, virtually everything that they do would be like the PlayStation 4 reveal where they try to wow you with, like, the software and the services side of things. Because I don't...
That stupid Square Enix Final Fantasy...
I hope they bring him out tomorrow too.
But the same footage from like E3 from like 3 years ago. That.
Yeah.
I hope the guy comes out and he says, "Please be excited again."
He just says like, "Please be excited again."
Yes, please be excited for E3, and no, we're coming up on it like 3 weeks.
I guess there might be some big announcements, but I'm more excited about just kind of getting caught up in the hype and the hubbub and having some fun. Like, I can't think of anything that I'm really looking forward to, but it's just kind of fun to relish in the excitement and all the hubbub and people chatting and stuff.
It seems unlikely I will buy two systems to generate or this Christmas, but basically I'm just waiting for one of them to tell me which one I'm going to get this
fall. I'm absolutely not going to buy two systems this Christmas. Not even sure I'm going to buy two within the console generation. Well, like, the only reason I ended up with an Xbox in this generation is that this generation went a really long time.
Yeah. I would say that my Xbox 360 experience has taught me never to buy anything in the first year. Maybe even wait until the first like hardware revision, because there's no way you can trust Microsoft to get it right again.
But my first generation Wii is still going strong, and my wife's second generation Wii is having those weird graphic glitches where there's like black dots on the screen. So it's
there used to be a thing where like I would buy launch hardware because even though like we all know there's droughts that first year, but those droughts always made me try something I wouldn't try before, and it got me. I found a lot of series I liked that way. But nowadays, like the last two or three systems I've gotten, those droughts just mean droughts.
Yes. And nothing's come out. Like there's the Vita and the Wii U. But
it's not just a matter of like, you know, maybe there's some interesting games that no one really talks about. There's nothing.
Which is weird because you think this would be the thing they get right. You think they just hang back and put out and make sure some games are ready. Because we've already waited this long.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure that like maybe they'll be fine. Like PS4 and whatever the next Xbox is called should probably have games. Just a question of, can I get those experiences that I can't get now?
Right. Well, and I think a lot of that has to, or kind of plays into the a lot of these cross-generation games that are coming out that are just kind of like, crossing over. Oh, it'll be for PS3 and PS4.
Which
or PS4.
They announced Gran Turismo 6 for the PS3. Yeah. And then they had to say, maybe we'll make it for the PS4
but
later.
You won't. And if you do, it'll be like 3 or 4 years down
that's
the line.
That's so weird. Is this
it's like, why do I care if it's coming for the
PS4? Is this
PS4?
The first
if it
year that's happened?
The
What's that? What?
Cross-generation games?
What do you mean?
I mean, there was a couple that like Gun on the 360 was basically a an HD port.
Yeah, and Burnout 4 came out almost simultaneously for Xbox and Xbox 360.
Yeah, there's been a few, but not the depth and breadth of the wave of this cross-generation stuff that's going on currently is unprecedented.
It definitely seems like that.
There's just no incentive, because we're talking about, like, there's no incentive to get the either of these systems in the first year.
Because when you're spending $100 million on your Call of Duty game, you can't put away this audience of 120 million users.
Yeah, and it's not only that. It's if you're developing an engine that is competent on the PC now, then it probably is going to scale pretty easily to the next Xbox and PlayStation 4.
If the difference between Call of Duty Ghost on PS3 and PS4 is on the PS4, there's some better rain effects and it plays in 1080p and you can record, then no one's going to care.
But even if that much, they do show an amazing amount of artwork and there's an obvious difference. How do you convince the people who are playing multiplayer to, like, just cut out that community entirely? Because that's what you buy these things for. It's not the single player game or the graphics to shoot other people online. That if you go to PS4, then you're cutting it down to a fraction of a fraction.
The smart thing to do would have been, at least as far as company brand goes, make it open multiplayer between the two.
But they won't.
But yeah, it's probably difficult for a lot of reasons, so we'll see if they do that.
Activision would be stupid not to. I'm crossing my fingers and knocking on wood that that's what's going to happen with Gran Turismo 6. I mean, this is the first time they've announced a game that's going to be simultaneous on the Vita and the PS3. If you could play between them, that'd be great.
Why is it not just on Vita is my question. Well, I mean, I know why, because they announced Gran Turismo also sells 70 million copies.
Yeah, Gran Turismo is one of the
best-selling series
on a Sony console.
Well, they can't let the PlayStation 3 last for this long and only get one Gran Turismo game out of it. I mean, sure they can, because Polyphony is stupid, but realistically speaking, they have to get more than one.
Well, you have to imagine...
I love them, but they're stupid.
You have to imagine Sony did not want this game to come out this fall. They probably wanted it last fall or the fall before.
We only got three real Forzas out of this generation, and 3 and 4 were practically clones.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't like the idea of, like, yearly Forzas at all. Because, like, I only really need to keep up with one Forza this year, and that was Forza 3.
Forza's Creed.
Yeah. But, you can actually, like, chart, like the progress of the console hardware for Gran Turismo games. Like, there's an obvious, like, declination of graphic ability, if you know what I mean, between them. Like, 1, 2, 3, 4, they look markedly different, whereas the Forzas didn't really look a lot different from the Xbox One through this newest one.
So do you guys think that we'll see hardware issues with this generation?
Yeah, totally.
I mean, I'm sure we will.
Oh, yeah.
It's a question of how widespread it's going to be. Like, the Red Ring was unprecedented. You will never find another situation before the Red Ring of a 90% failure.
Yeah, and let's point out, the Red Ring happened entirely because of one engineering fault.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah.
And they used
the wrong shape
bracket to secure a heatsink. That's it.
Yeah, supposedly it was just like a rushed thing because, like, there was some EU law that they had to, like, get around with their clamp.
Yeah, it's like you're trying to cheap out on parts. You pull a clamp for a heatsink off the shelf that's probably from some no-name PC that you manufacture on the side, and you throw it in the Xbox, and you don't really think about it again, because what's the worst that can happen if you use a low-quality clamp for a heatsink? Well, apparently it can warp your motherboard and destroy everything.
There were a lot of PS1s that had the discrete error problem.
Yeah, I don't know what, because they put the vents underneath the system. Mm-hmm. They put the vents underneath the PS1.
Yeah.
Which is one of the major reasons that most of those
mine, fail. Yeah, my PS1 developed the discrete error.
Which I could point out was actually a really common design method for the previous generation.
Oh, yeah, my Sega CD, the front loader, also exhibited the same problems, right? The original. It's like this, it was anything you release, like moving parts into these things, they're going to fail.
Yeah.
But
I mean, eventually all our systems with those trays are just going to die.
Yeah.
those trays aren't going to open.
We're talking about like the 9% failure rate. It's not unprecedented in like the realm of like computer hardware. Like there have been Dell's released multiple hardwares where like 90 to like 100% of the fail rates. Like there's been a couple of laptops they released where like 100% of the NVIDIA chips will fail. And like everyone of those laptops they produced.
I don't know. I mean, I'd hope that they would be a lot more careful, as careful as you can be.
Well,
you know,
there's just so many
these things, but yeah, there's only so much you can do. Yeah.
Well, let's
put it like this. Intel is still in business and they released an entire generation of Pentiums that couldn't multiply.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are you guys expecting out of the press conference? Like are they like releasing a date, a price, and showing off the box?
No. Shitload of pomp and circumstance.
It's going to be as detail free as possible. They just need to say that they're also a strong participant on equal footing of the PS4, so, if not better.
So possibly like, Gears of War?
Yeah.
I don't know who would be making another Gears of War at this point.
I don't know, but it...
Like, unless they're making it themselves, which would be crazy, and I don't want
that. I feel like Microsoft is going to try to have some sort of exclusive.
There will be Halo 5. If not Halo 5, then Halo something.
What would be great is if like Turn 10 had been working on the new Rally Sport this entire time. That'd be great, but that's...
I'm gonna lay it down there. I'm gonna say there's probably gonna be an Alan Wake 2, if not here, then E3. Yeah.
So they're actually showing off games, because before we were worried that this was going to completely be like a cable box reveal.
I think they will show off some games, not everything, and far from a lot.
Did the same amount like the Sony showed, or less than that?
I don't know. Microsoft does not have the first party stable Sony does, so I don't know how much they're going to show that of stuff they're publishing. But I know at least EA has basically said, "Yeah, FIFA's going to be there. Yeah, Madden's going to be there," and I'm sure there's going to be other stuff. I wouldn't be surprised to see Respawn's game there, though. That would be funny if it was, because then it's basically, how pissed off would you be if you were West and Zampella if your game was going to be there and they're also using that as their platform for the Call of Duty reveal?
Yeah, there would probably be a lawsuit involved after that. So fuck you. What are you?
There was,
so one of them probably E3. Yeah,
speaking of EA, they also announced something else.
Yeah, they announced they are no longer making Wii U games.
Not a single one in development.
Were they? Yep. When's the last? Had they support like?
Yeah,
the
what Wii? Have they put out?
They
on the Wii
brought
U.
out a port of Mass Effect 3 and a port of Need for Speed Most Wanted.
Yeah.
There was also FIFA, Madden.
Yeah. I'm amazed that they don't have the sports games in development.
Keep in mind that version of like Mass Effect 3 was like all the other systems got like really nice complete sets of the Mass Effect games.
Yeah.
But they
two weeks before for half the price.
Yeah. And they released Mass Effect 3 at $60 on the Wii U. And I don't even think it's been discounted yet. Need for Speed,
I think they're done.
Need for Speed Most Wanted is still $60 on the Wii U. I can buy it for $35 on any other console. Granted, that's used, I think. But still, it's one of those things where you would have to hate money to buy EA games on Wii U.
It's an interesting argument, because you can come at it from both sides. EA is almost completely justified in this decision, because they're hurting, the Wii U isn't making them any money, and...
But the Wii U isn't making them any money, because they're not selling anything on the Wii U that you can't get somewhere else for considerably cheaper.
Right. And it's just like, if Nintendo were putting out their best foot forward on the Wii U, if the Wii U weren't like being, it's $60 off at Target this week, because they just need to get rid of stock.
Well, it's a chicken and egg thing, right? They sit there, well, it's not selling enough. Well, it's not selling because you're not selling enough systems. But it's not EA's job to sell Wii U systems.
But on the other hand, EA half-assed it from the start. So when they turn around and say, our games aren't selling well on the Wii U, well, yeah, no shit. Well,
half-assing is sort of what EA does. It's like they're going to put the minimum effort forward as possible on everything. So even the stuff they sell for the PS360, it's crass and it's cynical, and that's what EA does. So yeah, it makes sense that they're going to abandon the Wii U. There's no easy profit to be made there.
The problem is that if Nintendo can turn it around, and I'll say I believe that some point they're going to be in third, but it's a question of by how far. If they can turn it around,
this is what we said about the Wii. Oh, it's going to be in third. It's a question of how far.
But the Wii exploded out of the gate. We're 8 months in, and I will say it's probably mostly Nintendo's fault, because they spent that 8 months doing nothing. And if they can turn around, let's say it does GameCube numbers, and we're hitting 25 million in a couple of years. though EA to respond to that will take 2 years to do so. They can't just put out something next year.
They would have to start a new development cycle on a game.
So by that point, consumers, the audience, whoever's on the Wii U, is going to understand they can't trust EA games because EA had screwed them or EA has not been there the entire time. So even if EA puts forth a good effort eventually, it's already done. The prophecy has been fulfilled. It's the same Nintendo cycle. And the great, I guess, tragic hilarity of this all is the Nintendo cycle with third parties is always the same for different reasons every generation.
And it's always a self-fulfilling prophecy, too. It's always that same, well, Nintendo doesn't have good third-party support, so Nintendo won't have good third-party support. And that's really
the problem is Nintendo could have fixed it this generation. They aborted in the first 8 months. There's just no way around that. They claim they're going to relaunch the system this summer, and God bless them, there's a bunch of games that I want to play after this summer, but the last 8 months have been, there's been, I think, two games from them.
Yeah, I gotta admit.
They should know why people play they should know people buy the Wii U for Nintendo games, and those should all be up.
So has the relaunch thing ever worked out well, aside from, like, I think that's the 3DS. They kind of relaunched that. Yeah. Has that ever worked out well aside from that point?
There's no reason it can't work out, mostly because Nintendo's audience doesn't necessarily overlap with the 360 and PS4 audience as much.
I guess.
Like, they do skew towards a younger audience.
Yeah.
So, in theory, there are still sales for them to make.
One thing about, like, losing the third-party developers, like you were saying, it seems like once you lose those third parties, it's nearly impossible to get them back, because Sega had that same problem with the Saturn. Like, they just completely lost it with the PlayStation 1. And by the time Dreamcast came along, Dreamcast is great hardware. They had it first, and it didn't matter because EA wasn't interested at that point. And they might need to get
into a situation where 3DS development is contingent on some token Wii U support.
Yeah. But
that's Yamauchi era stuff.
I don't know if that works in the iPad era, though, because they're going to look at that and say, well, this market over here is bigger and it's easy to develop for. Sorry.
I don't.
Yeah,
well,
but like,
okay.
Atlas can't make iPad games. They put Shin Megami Tensei port on there, and I'm guessing that's not going to do as well for
the
Shin Megami Tensei 4.
Traditional publishers are really looking at the iPad and thinking, well, there's our alternative, because
maybe they are.
They sink money into it, and none of them really make all that much back. EA is doing okay, but EA is doing okay because they do almost exclusively free.
EA is not doing okay
on the social stuff.
Like I mean, in general, like they're cutting where they can, and that's probably one of the reasons they dropped Wii U support.
Yeah,
one of the many. But Peter Moore has always been somewhat not happy with Nintendo, I guess. There's always been that rumor, too.
So he started off with as a Sega guy. So I don't know. Maybe that resentment stays. Who knows?
There was. Because we've heard that rumor before that EA wanted Origin to be the Wii U system. And from what I've heard, that's not terribly far from the truth. But the best evidence toward that is that in 2011, Peter Moore said, I love Nintendo's online system, or what they think it's going to be. I went to Tokyo, Kyoto. I saw it. It's going to work great for our sports games. None of their sports games used Nintendo's system at all.
And that doesn't really sound like, oh, we're using it for Origin. He keeps saying Nintendo there, so...
Well, I mean, if they were claiming there's a partnership there.
That's kind of the thing that pisses me off about this situation the most, is that they gave a lot of lip service to supporting the Wii U, and then when it came around to launch, it was basically vapor.
Like, as much as EA said, I don't know if you want to even use the word fault here, this is essentially just business, but as much as EA is at fault, I place the blame at Nintendo's feet, too. A relaunch is stupid. Yeah. Like, it shouldn't have actually come to that.
Well, maybe it's just that we're in a different market now, because Apple has got this idea, it made everybody thought you have to sell 10 million copies of anything on the first year release. That doesn't happen in console world. You know, sometimes you release a console and it takes 2 or 3 years for it to catch on. I mean, that's not unprecedented.
Yeah, the Xbox 360 did not have that huge install base in its first year entirely because it was the first one out of the gate.
Yeah.
But that first year, it managed to act like it got Dead Rising, it got Oblivion, and that kept it going.
Yeah, and you don't really see that for the Wii U. It's a handful of games that start, and basically nothing. You're right.
Right, and like they're, I mean, starting from the end of June, they're going to be doing better, and there's going to be actual games for people to play and people to talk about. And I'm confident that when they show Mario Kart, the mass market will actually start recognizing this may be and something Smash they Brothers. Want.
Yeah. Does the mass market care about Smash, though, or is that just that?
It sold 12 million copies.
Okay, so it's not just a Nintendo thing. Okay.
It's enough to get people who were waiting for the next Smash Brothers to go out and buy a console.
And even if it is just a Nintendo thing, it gets Nintendo faithful on board, and they don't even have them now.
Let's put it like this. If Nintendo comes out and shows a good-looking Mario Kart and a good-looking Smash Brothers, these people who buy Nintendo consoles for those games might hit up a Target sale.
Yeah.
The current rumor is that Mario Kart is going to have Sonic in it, which maybe it's enough to get people into this.
That is probably like the most
I don't know how
the
to
most
deal with
credible
that.
Rumor I've heard in a long time.
There's so many things wrong with that because he can't be in a cart because it's dumb.
Did you not actually see that last Sonic Racing game?
I did, yeah, and he's in a little car, but it's still
there was the scuttlebutt that 10 years ago, this is probably the first rumor I ever reported on, that Sonic was supposed to be in Mario Kart Double Dash, but Naka and I don't know who was the other person, may have been Miyamoto, they couldn't agree whether or not Sonic could actually had to be in a kart. And if you, I don't know if you ever played Double Dash, but being in a kart is fairly fundamental to that game.
Look, Tails could just ride on top of him, like just piggyback. That can happen.
And apparently that's just what they could not come to agreement on that, and they just walked away and eventually came back with Smash Brothers.
So if this rumor that the PlayStation 4 might cost like $400, now you take a look at that.
Yeah, Sony of India said 399 euros, which generally translates straight to a dollar amount.
So you take a look at that, and you see like the Wii U at $350 for the pack that you actually want to buy. Nintendo has to drop the price at that point, right?
I don't think they're going to drop the price. I think they're going to start bundling it. It's going to have like a Mario Kart bundle for $350.
Okay. But that's already, they're already bundling it to a good degree on that package. And
for like, you know, $399, $400 something. Okay. With like Zombie U and Nintendo Land and crap like that. It's they need a game that people are going to want. They need attention, basically. Yeah.
So they need to put the next Mario Kart with that thing.
Yeah, I mean,
well, they need some other basics. I mean, like my wife and I were just asking about this the other day. How in the world is Wii Fit U not done by now? How is that not a 1 month coding project?
I mean, maybe it's going to come back and it's going to have some big thing but most likely not.
Like sometimes it takes Nintendo a weirdly long amount of time to do anything. Like, had the Brain Age for 3DS, was that ever released? Did that ever come out yet?
Yeah. Double Training, I think.
Yeah, but that took a while. It wasn't like a first, like, that should have been like the game that came out with it. And I don't think Nintendogs wasn't a launch game with it either, was it? So
no.
It was a launch game.
Okay.
I remember because I had to ask the guy at Toys R Us, and I told him it was for my daughter, like, unprompted.
You shouldn't have done it.
The daughter that does not exist.
You should just own that. You should just tell him I'm buying this, go to hell.
Well, I asked him for it, then I also said, also, she wants Street Fighter.
Oh, okay. Job is kind of tough. But no, Nintendo, it seems like they take a long while on like the very basic things. I don't know if they figure that they have to have something like every like 2 or 3 months and spread it out.
I feel like
the reason for Pikmin's delay is because they underestimated how hard it would be to create HD games. So they needed to pull people off Pikmin to make Mario Brothers and Nintendo Land. Otherwise they would have had nothing for launch.
I can believe that.
Like they've outright said that was the problem. Yeah. And Pikmin needed to be there within the first couple of months.
So maybe that's not going to be a problem for like the next PlayStation, next Xbox, since, you know, they've been making HD games for this long while. So who knows?
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem, that Nintendo is literally the last company in the world that does not know how to make HD games. And the problem is they need to make those games to make their system sell. Their systems don't sell and third parties won't put games on them. And
so maybe I'm beating a dead horse here, but it still boggles my mind that Nintendo has not tried to come out with something to compete with Forza and Gran Turismo. Because both of those are in the tens of millions of copies sold per iteration.
And maybe this is a lot about Nintendo, but Mario Kart is their competitor to those games.
I kind of, I mean, there's because there's the arcade stuff and there's the sim stuff. It's like Gran Turismo and Forza aren't really competitors with the kart games. Nintendo doesn't have a sim game is the basic problem there. It's like
Mario Kart competes with like the Need for Speed games and
Gotham existed.
Is that audience one that's gonna fall over themselves for Sims?
Well,
Kart audience, no, but I feel
like the Nintendo audience.
Yes.
Anyone who buys Nintendo suggests.
Maybe, because the Nintendo audience is kind of weird like that. It's like you wouldn't expect a Fire Emblem game to be a Nintendo audience game, but it is.
And the Nintendo audience is, I think, considerably older than Nintendo gives them credit for. Like, there's this very wide range of ages in the Nintendo audience. You know, there's people who are, like, young kids who are getting into video games are a big part of their audience. But also, like, the 35 and up audience that grew up with Nintendo.
Yeah.
It's not the age I'm concerned about. It's that Sims are just a decidedly more focused market. Like, there may be a lot of people who buy them, and they mostly buy them off graphics, and Nintendo's not in that graphical game.
I don't think they buy them off graphics. I think they actually buy it just off... Because I don't know about that.
I mean, would you buy a Forza game if it played exactly the same if it were Wii graphics?
No, because I actually skipped Forza.
It was Wii graphics?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. That's Gran Turismo 4.
Yeah.
I mean, now.
Yeah, I would. I'm considering going out and buying a PSP to play the PSP Gran Turismo game, like, today. I don't mind that it doesn't look phenomenal. It's a fun... It's not a visual showcase anymore.
Yeah.
Gran Turismo, all I see from people who hype those games are, look at this, the rain is hitting the windshield and you're wiping
it
off.
That's because they're looking at the sim aspects. It's, holy shit, there's rain, you have to like account for that. Yeah. But like when like the Gotham, like, I don't think Forza has ever looked good. Like, I still think the Gotham games look better than Forza ever has.
Yeah, Forza does not necessarily look good, but what it shares with Gran Turismo that makes it look nice is that there's an attention to detail.
Yeah,
the tracks look sharp, like the way they're supposed to look.
Yeah, it's like it's hard to explain to somebody who's like super into the sim stuff, but there is that fantasy element where you say, "Oh my god, I'm in this Viper, I'm going down Laguna Seca. This is amazing." And it doesn't really have a lot to do with graphics, because honestly, when you're going like 200 miles an hour down Laguna Seca, you're not looking at shit. You're just worried about not crashing.
Yeah.
But when was the last time Nintendo tried to compete when another system has a thing that they're really good at? Nintendo has tried to compete at that level. It's always kind of backfired.
Nintendo
on
can't chase the market. You're right.
Like Nintendo Sports. Remember that from the SNES? Ken Griffey Jr.'s baseball?
Yeah.
Like, those games weren't bad. They couldn't pull the people who liked sports games on Sega systems away, because the narrative was Sega systems have better sports.
Well, I think
games.
There's also an issue where, like, if a Nintendo audience might not chase a real world analog type thing. It's like, it probably needs to be cartoony. That said, they should probably, like, I don't know, go to another company and ask them to help them with this. If it doesn't have to be related to Nintendo. Like, the guys who made Auto Modelista still exist in some form somewhere.
And oh my god, please don't ever hire them to do anything ever again.
I never actually played Auto Modelista. Was it that bad?
I have that game. It is god-awful terrible.
That was the cartoony one, right?
It is.
It's a cartoony
worst racing
game. Yeah, the cel-shaded too. I mean, they have Project Cars coming, so that might be a thing, but it's not going to be, like, it's on other systems, it's on PC as well, I think, so it's not going to ever have that Nintendo push behind
it. And maybe that's really all they need. Maybe they just, because I think they do need to expand that, because they just can't keep chasing the Nintendo market people. They need to, like, go to Retro and have them do something else aside from work on Nintendo stuff.
Revive NST.
NST is around. It just, they make virtual console ports.
Yeah, they make virtual console ports and dev tools, and that's the biggest waste of talent in the history of video games. Because
they might be trying to bring them to actual development again, because they hired a guy who is one of the founders of Sonic, and they put him at the head of NST.
Good, because I can't think of a single game they made that wasn't great. Great. There aren't a lot of games they made that I can think of off the top of my head, but.
The story goes that they were making Project Hammer, and then Nintendo was noticing the casual boom, was asking, can you make Project Hammer into more of a minigame type thing?
Oh.
And that game never saw actual completion, Project Hammer or the minigame.
Nintendo is the worst. Officially the worst.
I mean, I mean, Project Hammer was, it wasn't going well anyway, because they were missing their milestones and they couldn't make an actual game out of the mechanic.
Well, maybe it couldn't, but like if they could get somebody to finish it up, at least it'd be something new they were doing instead of the same, I don't know, five things. I mean, we make fun of people who keep harping on the fact that Nintendo doesn't release new IP, but Nintendo doesn't try new things a lot. You know, when they do try new things, it's usually in the same vein of the stuff they always try. Because it can.
Let's release this game that's very similar to the other games in our series with a little gimmick added on.
It's a very conservative company. And I guess it's fun because it makes the money, but at the same time, it's kind of frustrating.
When people say they love Panic Mode Nintendo, as if that means something, that they don't know what they're actually talking about. They think they're talking about a Nintendo that secures Monster Hunter as exclusive. What they're actually talking about is the Nintendo that releases two new Super Mario Bros. Games in a year, or that puts out a Link to the Past sequel because people love a Link to the Past, right?
Yeah, let's remake that. Yeah, you want that? Okay, let's remake Link to the Past. It'd probably be a great game, but you're also, it's like, yeah. Oh God, guys, what if you tried something, I don't know.
Panic Mode Nintendo is not creative Nintendo. It is, oh God, Wind Waker needs to come out this year, just put in whatever you can for the missing.
I would really love if they could just kind of let go of the nostalgia a little, because Kid Icarus Uprising was a really good game that did not have to be called Kid Icarus.
Right. And I'm like, I love Hideki Kamiya games, like, love. He is my favorite developer, bar none. And it kind of kills me that Wonderful 101 is coming out right around Rayman and right around GTA, because I know Nintendo has no intention to push again.
And God, and Jesus, that they push back Rayman to put it in the same time frame as GTA 5. Really?
Yes. Which, I mean, people are going to make the argument that
markets overlap very much.
It's not a matter of the markets overlapping. It's that there's so much, you know, shelf space. There's so much market or mind share. There's going to be GTA ads in every window. And if Rayman came out in August, there may be Rayman ads.
Like that thing where you say, oh, they're going to buy GTA. Maybe they'll buy something else of the sort. No, they're not, because they're not paying $120 to play a video game. They're actually just going to buy GTA 5 and go home and not buy anything else for the next month.
I mean, maybe I'm going to sound stupid because I haven't looked at the numbers, but I don't think Rayman was ever going to sell that much anyway.
The last game, it was profitable, and I think it passed a million, but it was also on every system possible.
Yeah. It does well enough, but I don't think it being close to GTA is going to make any difference at all. The people who know about Rayman already know about Rayman.
I think the more games that come out in September, the worse for those games.
Let's put it this way. Rayman being that close to GTA 5, maybe like if Rayman was released right now where there's very little anything, I might actually spend like $50, $40, $60 on Rayman right now. I'm certainly not spending $60 on Rayman in the same month I'm buying GTA 5. In that case, I'm waiting till Rayman hits the used bin. You know, you hate to say that because it's hurting the industry, but that's what I'm going to do because I'm not going to pay $60 for a two-month-old game.
It's like even like Call of Duty, let's say that comes out X month, and Bayonetta comes out the same month. Bayonetta's not going to do as well if it had come out at some other time, regardless of whether there's almost no tangible market crossover or not.
It's like Metal Gear Rising, which came out in February. If it came out later in the year or earlier in the year, like during the holiday rush, nobody would have bought it. But it was out in the middle of the beginning of the year where nothing was out. So it's the only thing you were paying attention to.
Also, that's getting a PC port.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay.
So we've kind of beat this Nintendo horse to death.
God, I wish I could.
I will say this. That
anyway, yeah, Samurai.
EA saying they don't want to put any Wii U games out anymore is not them saying we're losing money and we can't afford it. It's them saying this is not a viable system. We want it gone. Which is a total, like,
which is what they did to the Saturn and the Dreamcast, by the way.
It's actually an understandable position to some extent, but it's not entirely. I don't think it's an entirely financial one because they're still putting out Vita games.
Yeah, I think they just want it gone because they want it gone. I don't know what the rationale is. I think maybe they are very mad that they couldn't tie it into Origin.
I think there's a legit, like, there's a legitimate feeling within Western developers that Nintendo and the Wii U are holding the industry back.
I think a lot of this depends on the idea that a corporation like EA, which has shareholders answer to, would operate on spite. And I can't imagine that would actually happen.
I don't think it's spite. I think some publishers think, you know, if this doesn't exist, it would be better for our bottom
and it
line.
Probably would be. I mean, okay, so the PS3, because the PS4 and the next Xbox, so apparently they're going to run on very similar hardware, right? But mm-hmm, you have the Wii U, which is running on a PowerPC thing, and that's going to be something you have to have a different team for that. I mean, I would guess, I'm not a developer, maybe I'm talking out my ass, but it seems to me like you would have to spend extra money to put stuff on the Wii U, where like PS4 and Xbox 3 would just be basically similar.
They've outright said that Frostbite 2 is not on the Wii U, not because it can't run it, but because they tried it, it didn't work, and they're not going to spend that much time trying to figure
it out.
It's okay,
they got shareholders to answer to. Okay, fine, but...
Maybe if the Wii U were a breakout success, they would have tried harder. But if it ever is, by the time it is, it'll be too late. So if you're buying a Wii U for Nintendo games, you're probably still golden.
Yeah.
But if you're buying it for more than that, then that boat, barring some sort of crazy industry shift or miracle, which I still believe we're heading towards an inevitable... not crash, but some sort of burning of the industry. Wait, soon.
The model has to die. Like what we're doing right now.
The model will die. It's just a question of whether it's this generation or not. Next.
Yeah, I mean, that money is still going to be there because, you know, if you can. But this model where we're selling like 3 million copies of a $60 game and you're turning up that much money and you can't make profit off of it, that can't last.
No, it can't. I mean, they've either got to figure out a way to make more money, which is really, really hard at this point because they're making a lot of money, or they've got to find a way to cut their costs. They've got to find some way to make game development cheaper.
Well, they got rid of the $40 game, which is a huge problem. The only thing that exists now is the $60 game, and they think in order to sell a $60 game to the public, they have to make a media event. And in that case, you're spilling millions and millions on advertising.
And the amount of money, going back to Batman, spent on pre-rendered crap that has no bearing on the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like this entire controversy over the voice actor. That's how...
Which is stupid. Like, oh, Kevin Conroy is not going to be Batman, I bet he's in there somewhere.
What's funny is that Kevin Conroy announced that some, I don't know, like Detroit Comic Con or something, that he's voicing the next Arkham game.
No, he's in Arkham Origins probably. But they're trying to be coy about it because they don't want to reveal it's a flashback yet.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, it's stupid and it's like completely unnecessary. And if they try to pull that shit with David Hayter after a number of people have been like, hey, what the fuck is going on? That's going to piss people off
and
too.
And we're talking about this, the voice actors, instead of the damn video game, instead of what's going on in that. And this thing is being released in October.
Remember how the Old Republic is supposed to save EA and they spent millions, literally millions of dollars on CG trailers.
Yes. And on like voice acting for everything that you wind up skipping because God, you're not going to sit there and listen to voice acting. We can read 10 times quicker.
And people are like, maybe the EA Star Wars thing is going to be optimistic. Maybe there'll be good games. But it's like after they just spent millions of dollars on essentially a bomb for them, then why would they put that much into the next Star Wars games that they're recouping the cost?
It's going to be the least effort possible. They know they can just slap Star Wars on something and make an X amount of
Kevin Conroy as the voice of Jar Jar Binks.
Kevin Conroy as the voice of Nolan North as the noise of Jar Jar Binks.
The noise.
Troy Baker is the Joker in the new one, though.
Misa Vengeance. Misa the Knight. Misa Batman.
I think that's a good place to end the podcast.
Yes. Yes. That was beautiful, Matt. Thank you.
Oh, Gunkins.
Good night, everybody.
Ruin everything. Night.